All right, let's read then from Genesis. From Genesis 12, verses 4 through 9. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, the people that they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, and had appeared to the Lord who had appeared to him. From that time on, he went toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. All right, so we've been looking at Abram, and we were introduced to Abram last week, the call of Abram, where Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, or out of Haran, and we looked at that call and how God made a number of promises in that call. And, you know, I think it's very important to see who called who. Abram didn't call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord called upon him. And it's important to see that order, you know, because when we look at salvation, it really happens in that order, right? We don't call on God because we are dead in our sin. We're not able to call on God, but God calls us, right? He enables us to hear the call and respond to the call. And so this morning, we'll look at Abram's response to this call. God said, go. I want you to go. And this morning, we'll be looking at Abram's response. I'd first like to just draw our attention to a little bit to Abram. You know, he's mentioned a lot in the New Testament, but just as we look at Abram, I'd like to just look briefly at Romans 4, verse 3. Romans 4, verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so, you know, we see that, you know, Abram responds to the call. But then I think just another important verse here, just in terms of understanding Abram, is in Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, the promise that comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abram's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. He is the father of us all. And so when we look at Abram's faith, we look at, you know, Abram being the father of us all. He's the father of faith in some ways. This is Abram, you know, who puts his faith in the living God, who takes his faith. He puts his faith in the living God and turns away from the idols that his family had worshipped in Ur of the Chaldees and turns to the living God. And this is because of the call that Abram heard from God. I'd like to there's going to be sort of four points that I'll make this morning, four points. The one is, these are all dealing with the life of faith, the life of faith. Life of faith is an obedient life, the life of faith, will inevitably encounter great difficulties. The life of faith is a public life, and the life of faith looks beyond the present to the future. Now, life of faith looks beyond the present to the future. So, some of the sources that I found helpful, there's a sermon, I forget even the guy that preaches it, on the Cambridge Presbyterian website, on this passage. Ian Hamilton, I believe, is the gentleman that preached the sermon. So that was a helpful resource to me. And then also I've read Boyce's commentary on this, as well as another commentary, which were all helpful. but just looking at Abram, Abram hears the call from God, and what's his response? Anyone look at his response? Genesis 4, verse 12. I'm getting all confused here. Genesis 12, verse 4 through 9. What is the response of Abram to the call of God? He went. Okay, pretty simple. All right, God called him, and he went. I think we tend to, look at God's call sometimes as much more complex than that, right? God, there's an obedience, isn't there, here? Simple obedience. We like to somehow, is God really calling me to do this? Whatever it might be. Is God really calling us to do it? Is God really saying that I should keep the Sabbath holy? Is God really, saying that, I shouldn't study on the Lord's day? Well, yeah, he is. It's pretty simple. And, is God really, Abram could have said to himself, is God really telling me this? This seems kind of crazy that the Lord would call me. Is God really calling me to do this? What are Abram's circumstances when he's called? We're given a few clues into it. Where is he living, first of all? Haran. Haran, okay. Had he been living there long? Doesn't really say, but if we know that Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and he went to Haran, sounds like he kind of settled in there a little bit, maybe. How old was he when Abram was called? 75. All right. So, and how old, how old Abram lived to be? Anyone? 175. Very good. Impressive. Miss Flora, he lived to be 175. So Abram, at 75 years old, was, what would we call him? He's not an old guy. But he's definitely well within the middle age, right? He's in his middle ages. I think he has a child later when he's, 90, or Sarah's 90 and he's 100. I forget exactly, but. He's quite old when he has a child, and that seems like pretty amazing, right, at that time, even for those days. So, we do have to understand it as, those days, 75, you're most people, they're not working when they're 75 years old today. Abram probably would have been like the equivalent of maybe 45 today, well within his mid years. And he receives this call from God. What objections could Abram have made to this call that he received from God?
I already left one place and came here, and I'm pretty settled now.
Yeah. I'm settled in. Most people, when they're in their middle age, they don't They want to settle into life. They want to, you know, sit down. They want to be happy. They want to have kids. They want to have, right? You're all settled in, right? You know, it seems like from what we read here a little bit later that he was fairly wealthy. He takes, when he's called, who does he take with him? He takes Lot and Sarah. As the Lord had told him, Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all his possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Would you say that he has a lot of stuff, right? This isn't a small move for him, you know? It's not like, you know, he's a poor guy. He doesn't have a few, you know, he's settled in. He's got a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of people. He's got, a big retinue of people. And you know, he could have objected to God. You know, he could have objected to God's call, but he doesn't. And we're left with the question, why doesn't he? And I think we're given the answer in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, it says that he was looking for a city whose foundation and builder was who? Was God, right? He realized that, you know, even going to the promised land was just the beginning of his pilgrimage. He was looking for a city whose foundation and builder was God. So here we have Abram being called out of Haran, but to being obedient to the call, being obedient to the call that God had given him. Just realizing the clock in the back is not. All right, I'll take my watch off. That's always dangerous when a speaker takes their watch off, but hopefully I can see it without it always. All right, so Abram, his call, but he's obedient in spite of the circumstances that he's in spite of the fact that, you know, this was kind of a crazy thing. For Abram to be called, at this point in his life, God's really expecting him to pick up stakes and really expecting him to leave the comfortable life that he was in. And I think that's true for us, isn't it? When God calls us, it's always the temptation, isn't it, to just live a comfortable life and to want to live that comfortable life and just to be happy, right? And not to have to leave that comfortable life. And that's one of the things about being a Christian, about being called to be a Christian, is that, you know, you're really being asked to become a pilgrim, to leave that life behind. But Abram, in spite of all the objections he could have had, is not, right? He doesn't object. God calls him, and he goes, and he's obedient. He goes, and he picks up stakes, and he goes on. So where is God calling him to? What land does he call him to? Canaan. What do we know about Canaan? Who lives in Canaan? Or who's Canaan named after? Noah's, right? We had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? It's Ham's son was Canaan. And what do we know? Canaan was under the curse of God, right? We know from later on, certainly in the book of Joshua, that the Canaanites were idol worshipers, right? They were idol worshippers. Are we given any clue to it here that maybe they were idol worshippers here?
Were they
Verse 8. From there he went on toward the hills east and pitched his tent with them on the west. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Okay. Before verse 8, that's certainly where Abram begins to worship the Lord. Okay. But even before verse 8, where does he go when he gets to Canaan? Abraham left, and the Lord went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, right? We're given that important fact there. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all his possessions that they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. So they arrived in Canaan. We know that this is the land that God's promised to Abram. Abram's of, you know, the godly line of Seth, and the Canaanites are of the cursed line. But we're given a maybe, and perhaps it's not so obvious a clue, but it does seem a little bit peculiar the way it's in this verse. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So we're told that the Canaanites were in the land. We know that, you know, about the Canaanites. But the great tree, why might that be a clue as to what the Canaanites were like? If you remember, again, this may be a little bit of speculation on this, but I think, you know, perhaps it's healthy speculation that, if you remember at one point, idolatry, there was during the time of the kings, they were setting up idols under every spreading tree, right? Trees were something that was a center of idolatry, right? It's peculiar that the place would be named after a tree, right? That the tree would be there. And so I think, you know, perhaps it's healthy speculation, and it is a little bit of speculation that this was, you know, the Canaanites were in the land. We know that the Canaanites were idolaters. But we certainly also know that it could have been even that he came to this place where they worshiped idols, in particular, under this tree. So God calls Abram, Abram obeys God, he's obedient to God, but God calls him, doesn't he, to a life of difficulties and trials. He calls him directly into this land of what? Idolatry, right? This land of Canaanites, this land of people that were opposed to the living God. That's where God calls him to. And, you know, again, you know, I think if we look at ourselves, look at the world around us. Do we see idolatry around us? Do we see a world that is opposed to the gospel? Do we see a world that is opposed to Jesus Christ? Do we see a world that is opposed to what the Bible says, as far as I would say that we do, right? I mean, we all experience that. This is this is where Abram was called. It's also where we're called, right? We're called to a life of obedience, but obedience in a world that's full of sin, right? Obedience in a world that's full of idolatry. Obedience in a world that's full of people serving themselves. And, you know, I think it's also significant here, isn't it, that, Abraham could have been very discouraged by that. I get discouraged by that when I look around and I see all this sin and, you know, I'm tempted by all this sin and all these problems and whatever, you know, I get discouraged. I'm just like, you know, it's too much, right? But what happens here? He's called and when does the Lord appear? He appears right here, right? This verse, the Lord appears. Right? In the midst of all this, the Lord appears. The Lord wants to affirm that, hey, I called you. This is where I called you to go. I'm here with you. God is here with you. I think it's really, as you look throughout Scripture, you see, the Lord appears frequently to His people at times when they would be very discouraged, right? At times when they would have doubts. At times when they, are being called to a task that is just too much for them. How about Joshua as he's about to enter the land of Canaan with the army, right? The Lord appears to him and he says, as the commander of the Lord's army, I am come, right? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, The Lord appears to them. The Lord appears to Daniel. We have that multiple times in the book of Daniel. We have Moses, right? The Lord appears to Moses. During the time of the judges, we have the Lord appears, And it's always like when things are very dire, but when things are very difficult, when things, you would be tempted to give up. That's when the Lord appears. He's there with His people. And He's there with Abram. In the midst of difficulties, and I think that's one of the things that we have to be careful about with the Christian life. Hey, everything's fine now that I'm a Christian, right? I mean, that's not Christianity. Everything's not fine. Everything's not going to be fine. Eternally, it's going to be fine, But in terms of your circumstances here on this earth, you're called to be a Christian in a very difficult circumstance. I don't care what your circumstance is. If you're a Christian, it's difficult, right? Maybe you're the only one in your family that's a Christian. Maybe you're the only one at your job that's a Christian. Maybe you're the only one in your church that's a Christian. That could even be, right? There's lots of churches that are going astray, you're called to be a Christian in the midst of difficult circumstances. And, here we have this no different with Abraham. So, I think, the first thing that we said was that the life of faith is an obedient life. We see Abram's obedience. Secondly, we said that in the life of faith, you will inevitably encounter great difficulties or trials. But the Lord's with us in those difficulties. He's with us in those trials. He's with us when things are tough. I would say the third point, the life of faith is a public life. What does Abram do when he gets there? When he gets to Canaan?
He builds
an altar. Is that something he did off in a corner somewhere? That's something he did in his bedroom? Did in his closet? Maybe he built it under the tree.
That's the last place it says he was.
Right? He might have claimed the land of idolatry for the Lord King Jehovah, right? Right under the tree. He could have done that. Doesn't say that he didn't. But he basically, I think, in building this altar, he's doing what?
He's worshiping,
right? He's giving glory to God. Who knows how much he knew about God. But he knew that this was the living God. This was the God that called him. That he was going to obey God, and that he was called by God. But I think he's also publicly declaring who he is. I'm Abram. I'm going to worship the living. I worship the living God. I don't worship these idols you Canaanites worship. This is who I am. I think, you know, we sometimes think that we can, you know, sort of, and I think, you know, it's hard because we all have different personalities, don't we, you know? But, you know, being a Christian is something that eventually leads us to conflict with the world. And eventually, at some point, you know, there's going to be a conflict. And we have to declare who we are. Are we the Lord's? Or are we someone else's? Abram's publicly declaring, I'm the Lord's. I am, you know, a follower of the one living and true God. I'm not a follower of the gods of the moons and the stars. You know, I'm God. I follow the one true God. And, you know, he's putting his mark, you know, on the land. I think we kind of said that, you know, he's asserting the rights of King Jehovah, right? You know, he's putting that on that altar stayed there. That altar, you know, it wasn't just something, you know, that was, you know, like a card table that you set up and you take down after the end of the meal, right? That altar was something that was a living memorial to God. And we'll even find out about it later on. I think Shechem is mentioned later on even in the book of Genesis, right? He's declaring who God is, who he is, and he's, you know, worshiping God. But the life of faith, thirdly, is a public life. It's a public declaration of who God is. You know, we can't just go along and say, go along with the world's view of who God is. You know, we have to say, no, I don't believe that. You know, I believe that God created the world. You know, they want to tell you in school, you know, that you evolved from a monkey, right? You can't just go along with that. You have to say, you know, I believe that God created me. And it makes a difference, right? And I think lastly, you know, when we look at Abram and this call, fourthly, he looks beyond the present to the future. He looks beyond the present to the future. So when we're looking at Abram's faith, you know, we see this life of faith beginning with obedience to God. And it's obedience to God in the midst of difficulties and trial. It's obedience to God in a public way, in his declaration of who God is. But we also look at faith, you know, looking beyond the present to the future. Let's turn back to the book of Romans on this. Romans 4, verse 13. It was not through the law that Abram and his offspring, it was not through the law that Abram and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of what? Heir of the cosmos, heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Wait a minute. I thought God only promised him the land of Canaan. How is he not just the heir of Canaan, but the heir of the whole world? What's happening here in Romans 4? How is it that it's not just Canaan? How is it that it's the whole world? How does this work, right? You know, Abraham was looking beyond the present. Okay, God promised him the land of Canaan, and really he promised the land of Canaan to his descendants, but he's really promising what? The new heavens and the new earth. He's really promising the world to Abram. Abram is the heir of the world. So it's not just the present. You know, Canaan is sort of a microcosm of God's promise. You know, it's a microcosm of of what God is really promising him when he's really making him the heir of the whole world. We looked at Hebrews earlier, Hebrews 11, verse 10, a city whose builder was God. A city whose builder was God is what Abraham was looking for. And as that, he becomes a pilgrim. Have anyone heard, and I actually should probably look it up, it's in the hymn book, I believe, a pilgrim was I in a wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus, the kind shepherd, found thee, and now I am on my way home. Anyone ever hear that song? What's that? Pilgrim was I in a wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. I bring this song up because I think there's actually a theological problem with this song, I think it's helpful. Let's see. I should have looked it up before I came. I'm not finding it here off the top of my head, but a pilgrim was I in a wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam. What's the theological issue with that in terms of when we look at the pilgrim life, when we look at being, anyone ever watch Pilgrim's Watch or read? There's a movie, but you could also have read Pilgrim's Progress, right? It's one of the, probably the greatest book ever written next to the Bible, okay? But what's the problem with this? A pilgrim was I in a wandering, in the cold night of sin I did roam.
Go ahead. Once you're a pilgrim, you're not wandering in sin anymore.
Right. Right? Once you're a pilgrim, you're not wandering in sin. Pilgrims have a purpose. They have a purpose. Abraham had a purpose. Right? He had a purpose. He was looking forward to what? His pilgrimage was to where? Where was his pilgrimage to? Mecca? Where was it?
A city built by God.
Yes, a city built by God, right? That was where his pilgrimage was to. He was looking forward to that city that was built by God. The problem with that song is, a pilgrim was I in a wandering. You didn't become a pilgrim until after God called you, right? God called you, then you became a pilgrim. You weren't a pilgrim when you were wandering around. Pilgrims aren't wanderers. Pilgrims are, people that are on the move, but they're on the move with a purpose. They're not settling down in this world. They're not settling down in this world. And I think that's where, we sometimes want to just be comfortable, settle down, become comfortable in the world, right? And we forget that we're pilgrims. Abraham was a pilgrim. He saw that. He responded in faith to God's call. He responded in obedience to God's call. And he was not wandering in sin anymore. He was not wandering in sin anymore. Not a matter of being comfortable in the world. We're never going to be comfortable in this world. We may want that sometimes. It's nice to be comfortable, isn't it? But that's not the life that we're called to. We're called to a life of purpose. We're called to look forward to the city whose architect and builder is God. And so that's the call of Abram. But we see that Abram responds to God's call in obedience in very difficult circumstances. He becomes a pilgrim, and he glorifies God's name. Now, let's be careful because, you know, our tendency as believers is to look up to Abram. And we're going to see as we move into next week that even a great man like Abram can go terribly wrong. And so I'll save that for next week. I won't get into it too much this week, but we are called to a life of obedience. We are called to be pilgrims. We are called to look forward to the city whose architect and builder is God. And that's going to mean that we're in conflict with the world, that we're not going to be comfortable in the world, that we're not going to be at home in the world, right? This world is not our home. We are but passing through. That we're looking forward to that city of God. All right, any questions? All right, let's close our time with prayer then. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, that you are the God that calls us out of darkness into light, that you call us to be your children, that you call us to be like you. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us to turn from our sins, to turn unto you, to give you all honor and glory and praise. O Lord, we pray that you would keep us from becoming comfortable in this world, O Lord, that we would realize that we are pilgrims, that we are passing through, and that we should be looking forward to the city that you have built. And we pray, O Lord, that you be with us now as we gather for worship, O Lord. We pray that you would be pleased to be with us, O Lord, as we worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.